Ministered here Tuesday night, sharing the good testimonies from Ghana. Many things happening around the world, and we're part of it. We are right in the middle of it. We're getting our hands dirty in it, and we love it. I said we love it. I said we love it. So, Father, we lift up today and Pastor Mary Pat is there down at People's Baptist and Carly as well, Father, helping them. God, we pray that it will be an amazing time of revelation for that body. God, that you would use Pastor Jose in a mighty way and Pastor Mary Pat as well, God, and Carly. God, we give you praise for the opportunity to spread revival, to lift up people, to encourage another part of your body, God. We give you honor, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we'll release the children. Video? Okay. While we're releasing the children. Fun. Part of what I see as a ministry to you is defining a lot of the things that we hear throughout the body of Christ. Son or daughter has been defined here a lot in the last few years. What that means. Orphan has been defined here over the last few years. What that really means. And how to be a son or daughter and not end up an orphan in the body of Christ. You can come to Jesus and you can be an orphan and miss out on most of the treasure that Jesus has for you. If you miss out on that treasure, you can't share any of it with the people around you. And therefore, you're cut back in your ministry. So it is with a phrase that we've heard tossed around in the body of Christ that I want to speak to this morning. You're the head, not the tail. You're the head, you're not the tail. We hear that often bantered about in the body of Christ. I want you to know what that means, not just hear the phrase and say, yes, that's me. I want you to have some substance to it. I want you to be able to use it in life. I want you to see the passage that it comes from. I want you to know the context. The same with all these other things. I want you to have the context of being a son or daughter and know where that comes from in the Bible and what the basis is for it throughout the Bible. Why you would want to be the son under a heavenly father and even under a spiritual arrangement where you have a fathering situation. Why would you want that? That's been explained a number of times by both myself, Pastor Mary Pat, and other speakers here, and other speakers that we listen to and that we hear in the body of Christ. It is just as important to know what it means to be the head and not the tail. And that's a conditional statement. Being a son or daughter is somewhat conditional as well. You are a son of the Most High, but whether you live it out, whether you get the benefit of it, is up to you. Your choices, your lifestyle, whether you're living for the kingdom or living for yourself. Years ago, I gave a message on two kingdoms, your own little kingdom and the kingdom of God, and explained what that was like. You can act like you're living for the kingdom of God, but you're building your own little kingdom, or trying to. And that one eventually falls apart. Unless we serve the kingdom of God with a whole heart, and it's about the kingdom, it's about Jesus, as the last song said, somewhere along the line, we will not get the benefits of the promises that come with that. We here at Frontline are on the front line wanting ourselves to receive the promises of God, not just so we feel good, but so that we take it to all these nations that are in desperate need of real Christianity. They live day to day on whether they have food, many of them. They live day to day on whether they will be persecuted and die on a day-to-day basis in many of these places. They face demonic forces that are right on people's sleeves. Witch doctors and witches are next door neighbors in their environment. Temples that worship the dead things are right down the street. And for us to be built up and know what it means to be the head and not the tail will help them eventually. Those of us that go over there, those of us that support the ones that go, will be able to have more of an impact if we understand what these things mean from the Bible and we don't just cheer when we hear it. Oh, the head, not the tail. Oh, yeah, that's me. That's what I want to be. That's who I am. Well, again, it's conditional. It's conditional. So let's dig right in. It's in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. We'll be reading quite a bit from three chapters today, so hang in there and listen carefully to even the rest of the chapters around the verses that are kind of key. This is a time in Israel's history where Moses is about ready to pass on. He will pass on the leadership to Joshua, so that the land is fully taken, the promised land and so on. They're about ready to go in and take it over. And like a good leader, Moses spends the book of Deuteronomy giving messages to the ones that will go in, the new generation. you know that the old generation didn't get to go in. They stayed in the desert. The new generation gets to go in and take the land under Joshua's leadership. But first, Moses has to prepare them. He has to set the conditions for them fully taking the promises of the promised land, to get the good stuff out of the promised land. He has to prepare them. And there are some sobering passages in Deuteronomy, and there are some amazing promises. So for us today that live under the new covenant, that live under mercy triumphing over judgment, these sobering words still have impact on our lives because we can be disobedient to God. We can sit in front line and be disobedient to the major things that God wants in our lives and cheer, you know, the fact that we're the head and not the tail. I don't want that to happen for anyone in here, because the best joy you can possibly have is being in the middle of God's will. And the way to be in the middle of God's will is to follow God's Spirit. And it's not about, well, Pastor Bill gave a message, it was good or bad. It's about whether you're hearing the Spirit of God after the message is given. Because the Spirit of God will continue to talk to you. He'll continue to teach you the things that Jesus spoke to you and has spoken to the body of Christ. He'll remind you of the things Jesus taught. I'm like the spark that starts the fire, is the idea. And the real teaching from a message is not the person up front teaching. That's why we don't put our name on the signboard. Because it's about the Holy Spirit teaching you. So if you think that we're trying to be world famous preachers and teachers, no, we want to prepare you to go to the nations. It doesn't matter about whether we become somebody important because we can teach things. It's about you receiving from Holy Spirit teaching all week long because a spark was started in your heart on a Sunday morning, a Tuesday night, by us or someone else in the body. So here in Deuteronomy 28, there's blessings, there's cursings. Now remember, you're under a new covenant. But these are sobering words through the majority of the chapter. The first 13 verses are blessing. Ooh, love to read those. And verse 13 especially. But 14 through 68 are sobering words, whether we're in the new covenant or not. God is serious about obedience and disobedience. And I have said for years that if you want to be the best obeyer, the best obedient person, you have to fall in love. You fall in love with Jesus, and obeying him becomes a lifestyle of love rather than a lifestyle of law where, oh, I better obey because if I don't, then I won't reach my destiny and I won't get all the stuff I can get from God. And no, if you fall in love, you obey because you love him. And he's done so much for you, and the gratefulness increases, and you can't help it. And when you sing, it becomes just radical worship. It's not just, you know, practiced worship. It becomes legitimate in your heart. You can't help it. You can't help but overflow to other people in the community, in your family. That's what changes the world. As we said in Africa, a couple weeks ago, we told them that you can go out on evangelism, this time of evangelism, let's all go out and evangelize, or you can do that, you know, as a special event, but you're an evangelist everywhere you go. Every testimony that you have about God, you're giving out and people are being changed. It's not about explaining the entire gospel to someone. It's explaining the entire Jesus to someone. And Jesus will get across the gospel many times. So few times have I had the chance to go from, you know, Genesis to Revelation or even through the entire message of Jesus with someone. They don't have the time for it. But they hear one testimony of God working in my life. They want him. And then they receive him, sometimes right on the spot, because of something God is doing or some way that God has shown his love to me. I express that to the person, and suddenly they want him. They get a healing from God on the spot. They want Jesus, the healer, the one who healed them. They don't want just the healing. They're not satisfied with it. Some are, but the ones that are going after God's heart, they want it all. They want the healing. They want the healer. They want all he can do in their heart to save them, deliver them, and carry them with the gospel to others. So, chapter 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Who is speaking here again? Moses, God speaking through Moses. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Notice the theme. This good stuff will happen if you obey the one that can make it happen. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. That covers everybody. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase in your herds, and increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. That is, if you're a farmer. But you can take these things and apply them to your own financial situation. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That's all the time. Coming in, going out, you're blessed all the time. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you, in your storehouses, and in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. We've actually walked into communities in several places of the world, and they become afraid of the teams that go in there. You can see them backing up. You can see them put ill at ease, because our teams carry so much of the Spirit of God. And we're willing to love on them as we chase them down, because they're, in a sense, backing up. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. By the way, many Christians take these verses, obviously for their individual self. And you could apply it that way. But remember, this is given to a group of people. It works best when you're blessed within a group of people. If you haven't figured that out yet, it's all through the New Testament, how we're supposed to be working together in unity and helping one another and so on. And encouraging one another, working together as a body, the different parts of the body, all the different giftings that are given that you're supposed to offer to the body to build up the body. So this is given as a promise, these promises, you can take it, these blessings, as an individual person, but it works out best within a body of believers. It works out best in a family. And that's hard for some people. They think, oh, why can't I just be a loner in this thing? And loners end up lonely. They even get separated from God many times because they don't know that He intended for each of us to work within a community of people in a way that's powerful because it's energized, synergized, multiplied, so that these nations are affected, even by a small body. Do you know that I would rather have this group of people together in unity than 4,000 people that are spread all over the place and caring only about themselves? This group can accomplish more and has than many large groups of people. Why? Because you can't accomplish much with a multitude. You can accomplish a lot with a family of disciples, with sons and daughters. Amazing things. And Jesus, He didn't go after big crowds, if you noticed. Took 12 people, 11 of them worked out. Add Paul onto it, and you pretty much took over the world with that few of people. Now, there were other disciples around, and they were doing some of the work as well. And obviously, that group increased. We're not saying that we want to just stay this little group forever. We'll let God take care of what the numbers look like. But I would take any of you over some large church. Just walking in and getting a position in a large church and having to start from scratch. I'd rather have sons and daughters that are built up in the faith, ready to go to the mission field when God calls, and ready to go to the neighborhoods when God calls. Because so much can be accomplished that way with sons and daughters. With a bunch of sheep wandering around and you're trying to herd them in and get them to go in one direction and there's 4,000 of them? No, thank you. I'd rather have a SWAT team. I'd rather have a SEALs team. I'd rather have a team that can do strikes, boom, to Ghana in 2 weeks, bam, to Brazil in 2 weeks, bam, over to Mozambique in 3 weeks, boom, boom, bam, boom. I'm telling you, the relationships that we have with the people there are tight, they're long-lasting, they're eternal with the leaders there and the people that we meet. And the nations are being affected because of it. Did I get off track? Yes, I did. Okay. Lord will open you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. There it is, verse 13. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I commanded you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So, conditions. Heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And be careful to observe them. Conditions, do not turn aside to any of the words which I commanded you this day to the right or to the left to go after other gods and serve them. Now, I don't expect that anyone in here is going to, in their basement, have some secret molten idol sitting there and no one knows about it in this body and you're down there bowing in the middle of the night, you know, in secret with a flashlight. I really don't, you know, expect that that would be the case. But you know what the challenges are in this culture, to go after the things of the world in this culture, to go after the things that, you know, everyone else, oh, this is so important, the Kardashians, oh my gosh, oh, gee, you know, and all those things, you know. It's laughable to those of us that know the value of Jesus, that those things would take up, you know, a second or two of our time. It's like, oh, why did I waste that? Yeah, I mean, I saw it on Yahoo first. Oh my gosh, why did I even waste 2 seconds on this? Because of the value of Jesus, the treasure of Jesus. And going to a nation or going downtown and talking to someone and seeing their life turned upside down, I mean, these things don't have any value compared to something like that. Incredible. But you know what struggles you have. What things in your life keep you from full focus on Jesus? Those would be the kinds of idols that we struggle with today. Lifestyles that we struggle with today. I'm going to take this lifestyle even though I know it's against God. I'm going to be disobedient and see what happens. I'll just see if His mercy really covers this. It's not a good thing to do. It's just not. The farther away we can get away from sin, the better, and get closer to Jesus. So those are the promises, 1 through 14, and the conditions. Obey God and all of His ways. Well, a few weeks ago, I brought out the stack of all the commandments of Jesus just in the New Testament. The commandments in the New Testament. It's quite a stack. And I also brought out the 700 names and titles of God in another stack. If we have those, we activate those, we can do these. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to do it on your own strength. I'm not going to be able to do it in my own strength. To obey the commands of Jesus, are you kidding me? We can memorize them, we can't obey them. We can put them in charts, and we can't obey them. We can put them in books that we stack up and we look at often, put them on the refrigerator, whatever. We're not going to obey them unless we activate the names of God in our life to depend on Him, to be a son or daughter and not an orphan. So, 15, I guess I misspoke, it's 15 through the end of the chapter, 68, is the reverse of these first 14 verses. You would think there would be 14 verses of curse. These are the 14 verses of blessing. There would be 14 verses of curse. No, there's many more verses on the curse side. And obviously, we are not under condemnation now that we have Holy Spirit living inside. Now that we know that we can't do these things. We cannot obey God without God. Deep inside of us, living inside of us through Holy Spirit. That was our only hope. The Old Testament is basically, if you just want to summarize it, is you can't do it on your own strength. That's the whole Old Testament. You can't keep all the laws. You can't please God on your own. You can have the best heart, the best intentions, but without the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you cannot do it. I cannot do it. No one can do it. That's why when Jesus came, when we realized it, when it was revealed to us, we embraced Him so much because we thought, oh, like Romans 6, He's the answer. He's the one. I would struggle from now until Jesus comes. And with just obeying one of the things He asked me to do. But because of the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to go out, and when I fail, I come to Him and say, okay, You knew me in my mother's womb. You knew. You knew I was made out of dust. Please forgive me. Oh, that's already been done. That's already been done. Thank You for recognizing that you're too weak. And let's go. Let's go again. Let's keep going. All these things are redeemed. Don't get stuck on your failures because God can redeem it and turn it into a strength. That's the joy of having Him live on the inside. Back then, it was, you did something wrong? Oh, well, you know, okay, try a sacrifice. But he kind of said, that doesn't really satisfy my heart. Mercy does. Oh, how do I do that? It took the Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to meet the standard. Jesus dying on the cross and receiving His salvation to meet the standard of God, holiness. He had to meet it for us. We don't meet it. We just don't. But when he does, blessing. First 14 verses. So let's just take a look at these other verses. I don't know if I'll read it all, but we'll get a taste of it and you'll see. Pretty sobering. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all the commandments and the statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you be, shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land and the increase in your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall be, shall you be when you come in, and cursed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that is that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings, in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever. And I don't know why fever wasn't enough, but with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish, and your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth, which is under you, shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain from your land to powder and dust from the heaven. It shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Not in a good way. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And no one shall frighten them away. Wow. And it goes on and on and on. Verse after verse after verse of curse, curse, curse. Verse after verse of curse, curse, curse. Sobering, but Jesus covers it. Jesus makes up the difference. When you're off, tell him, I'm off. I've been disobedient. I've not trusted you. And he's welcoming you in because he's already paid the price for it. He's not pushing you away when you fail. He's welcoming you in. Here, in the Old Testament, you're being pushed away if you fail. That's why this covenant is better. So the next chapter, he establishes what? A covenant. In chapter 29, listen to some of this. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have eaten bread. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. You say, wait a minute, what about the manna? Wasn't that bread? No, it was not of this world. It was a taste of heaven. It might have looked like a wafer, but it was much better. And when you came to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. We took their land and gave it to as an inheritance to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to the half of the tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders, your tribes, your elders, your officers, and the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers and to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today, before the Lord your God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations and their idols, which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you any man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord your God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen, when he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace even though I follow the dictate of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. Building your own little kingdom doesn't work. The Lord would not spare him. For then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversary, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the coming generation of your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land, would say, when they see the plagues that the land of the land and the sicknesses which the Lord has laid on it, the whole land is brimstone, salt, and burning. It is not sown, nor does it bear, nor does any grass grow there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zebulun, which the Lord withdrew in his anger and in his wrath. All nations would say, why has the Lord done this to this land? What does the heat of his great anger mean? Then people would say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods that they did not know and that they had not given to them. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against the land to bring on it every curse that is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, and we may do all the words of this law. Another verse that is often tossed around, and it's in a context of keeping a covenant or not keeping a covenant. And the revelation that God is willing to give to us, he doesn't tell us all the secret things. We can go after those in relationship with him. But he does reveal some pretty clear things to us. And that is, don't violate his covenant. Whether these things, because of the age of grace that we're in, the age of mercy that we're in, the age of Holy Spirit we're in, whether they apply or not, they applied in the past. God really does get angry at sin. He really does get angry at disobedience. And because of Jesus, that gets filtered to us. But it still should be sobering how much he wants the best for us. Because that's what this is about. It is not best that people go after other gods, that go after less than their best destiny. It is not good for them. And so God hates the sin that would bring that about, hates the lack of covenant that would bring that about for any person. And he knows the enemy, the flesh, the devil, can be followed, and people are lied to, and he doesn't want that to happen. He wants to rescue us.
So he brings in Jesus to do that very thing. And now all we have to do is fall more in love with Jesus, and we become the best obedient people that could possibly live. Why do you think we worship Jesus so much in the songs? It's because he's the only one that can make us into covenant keepers, into relationship keepers with God. He's the only one that can give us the power to obey the commands of God, obey the covenants of God. So of course we worship him. And the more we do that when we leave this place all week long, the more that your life goes up, up, up in him. And you do become the head, not the tail. Because that promise kicks in for you. It's not just a phrase. It's not just a catchphrase. It becomes reality in your life. If you're still contending for some of that you become the head because you've not seen anything of you becoming the head, something's wrong. Something needs to be repented of. Because he is actually doing it in our lives. I see it in people's lives in this place. I see it in people's lives overseas. They're becoming more of the head and less of the tail. They're not getting wagged around by governments, chiefs. They're not getting wagged around by those that are in lesser command in the kingdom. They're doing the wagging. They're doing the leading. They're showing the way. They're standing up boldly for God more and more and more, even in persecution situations. And they're winning. Pastor Jacob is not someone to be pitied in India, in jail for his faith, in jail for ministering to those children that were caught up in human trafficking. He's not to be pitied. His example is to be followed. His example is what we are going to be like more and more and more. That we're going to see things from an eternal perspective. That people's lives matter so much. It doesn't matter if you're in prison or you're out of prison. It's not, woe is me because you're in prison. You go after the same things. Jesus and giving out Jesus to people. And he's baptizing people into prison. And we look up and we look at that and say, Could I do that? Absolutely. Because the grace will be there for you. It's not on this side of prison. It's in prison that the grace would be there for you to do that. And all you'd need to do is step into it. So when you're in a much easier situation like we are, let's step into that grace every day. What complaints do we have? What complaints do we really have? He can heal everything in us. He can empower us to do his will. He can give us the things that are best for our lives. He's not going to hold them back unless we're disobedient, unless we don't want to do it his way. The more that we fall in love with him, we want to do it his way. It's a cool thing. All we have to do is fall in love. Wow! Think of these people back here hearing these words of Moses and the fear that could grip them because they had no power to keep the covenant, no power to obey. But we do. We have it. So John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. What's the result of obedience? You get to know Jesus better. Wow. How do you obey? It says right in the verse, the person that loves me. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. The love comes first, even though it's not first in the verse. You love him, you'll obey him, and he manifests himself to you. Revelation. More revelation to us. It's awesome when you're on the street in Ghana and people look at you and they first look at your white skin, But then when they find out you're a representative of Jesus and that you can pray for them and their foot is healed, they want Jesus. That's an awesome thing. You have that same Holy Spirit in you. You're seeing some of that happen when you pray for people, some of you. If you haven't stepped into that yet, join the gravy train. This is the fun stuff. This is the whipped cream. Did you see Rick come back? He's glowing with the Shekinah glory of God. He's up here sharing, and Mary Pat's like, oh my gosh. She recognized how much happened in him and some of the other team members. What's going on? Glory to glory for you. Glory to glory for each of us. This isn't just about Rick. This is about each of us. God wants to give us that seriousness about his kingdom so that we go from glory to glory and we obey him out of love. It's a love fest. It's the love pool where you just dive in and you're falling more and more in love with Jesus. And those things you said, oh, I'll never get that and this will never happen. And why isn't God get? All those will be secondary. And while you're after his heart, they happen. How many have gone after certain things and you don't get them? You go after the heart of Jesus. You start getting so involved in what he cares about, people and the word of God, spreading that throughout the earth. Okay, Josh, worship, all right, throughout the earth. You get involved in the things he's concerned about, and suddenly things fall into place. Because now you're the head. It's not standing up and going, okay, I declare, God, that I'm going to have this particular thing in my life, and it's going to happen. If the rest of your life is not really obedient to God, don't necessarily expect that that would happen. And if it does, you don't want it. If the rest of your life is messed up, you don't want that to be given to you until the rest of your life is in alignment with God. That one thing you're after, you don't want it until the rest of your life is lined up with God, because it'll be cursing rather than blessing in some way, shape, or form. It may not be to the degree of this, praise God, but it'll be off, because you're looking at that one thing. I need that before I'll really love God. Don't do that. Help me not to do that. Let's encourage each other not to do that. Don't go after one thing and then I'll love God. No, love God. And that one thing will probably be yours, because then you will be the head, not the tail. Are you seeing this in the Spirit? Are you seeing this as glory to glory? Don't let you stay where you are. You're either going to go down or you're going to go up. I want you to go up. I want you all to see the blessings in the first part of Deuteronomy 28. I want you to have that deep covenant with God of love for him, to the place that you start moving, you start speaking, and things happen. Worlds are created, atmospheres changed. I hope you want that for me. More and more and more. That when we go to Ghana, it's not just a cute little mission trip and, oh, yeah, put it on the website. There better be things happening, that people are going out and taking the gospel to farther and farther villages. Well, I'm here to report it's happening. Those that you have sown into Ghana these several trips, because when they leave here, there's a hole. There is a hole for 2 weeks or whatever. And their preparation time before that takes them away from being part of your lives, possibly. But you're sowing them into a country is changing that country. I'm telling you, these people over there are taking it to farther and farther villages. And they're coming to me, the leaders are coming and saying, Well, if we bring them from that far village to the Kingdom Bible School, it's going to cost all this money. And I thought, they took it to that far village? Bring them. Because that village is going to take it even farther. So money can't be the, you know, the problem. It just can't be. He's got to provide that to take care of their transportation, their food, and all that business for those 5 days that we ministered to them. Because they're going to take it so much farther. So Deuteronomy 30. If you or I have messed up somehow, and we've gone after that one thing, or we've gone after a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God, or we've gone after, you know, we've had a few steps of failure, a consistent series of failures in our lives, and we can recognize it. He has a solution. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecute you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, for this commandment, which I command you today, is not mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that you, both you and your descendants, may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. God is a restoring God. If we've screwed up in any way, we go to him, and he returns to us. He comes close to us. We repent and he restores. We repent and he redeems. There isn't anything that you've done or that I've done that can't be redeemed. Even if we've done it as a Christian, it can be redeemed, it can be renewed, it can be rejuvenated, turned around, and made something that would favor us. Our testimony of lack can bring us a lifestyle of abundance because we reject the lack and we tell other people, I've rejected lack because my God is so big and he's so good. I reject lack. He's going to bless me in the land of plenty so I can bless the kingdom, not just myself. I don't want to build a mansion on this earth. I want to build a mansion in heaven. And I don't want to build it alone just so that I sit there by myself in my mansion. I want to have plenty of people to fellowship with and help them build their mansions. There's nothing better than being restored, redeemed, turned around, repenting before God. It says it's refreshing to repent. That's what it says in the New Testament. Refreshing to get a turnaround, a breakthrough in our thinking, a turnaround in our lifestyles. So you know that when David faced Goliath, he decided to become the head, not the tail. No one else in the entire company would become the head, including the king. Only David. And what did he get for it? Persecution by the king. Had to run. Was chased. So don't expect just because you become the head that things just always go well. But God redeemed it. Restored it. He became king. And he could have done a better job of being king. But the temple was eventually built by his son. A number of things were accomplished. The kingdoms were brought together. Even though he personally struggled with some things and had to have some things forgiven and redeemed in Psalm 51, where he just pours out his heart to God. Don't leave me, Holy Spirit. Don't leave me, Holy Spirit. And God answered that. He did it for David the king. He faced his Goliath. The Goliath wasn't necessarily the person in front of him. It was the fear not to face that person, not to face that and become the head. The fear was a much bigger Goliath than the Goliath that he could see, and he conquered it because he was a prototype of Jesus. God knew he would conquer it. That's why he was chosen by Samuel. He would conquer his fear. That the Holy Spirit would come and rest on him and leave him, and come and rest on him and leave him. But the Holy Spirit came and rested on him, and he was a very imperfect man. And yet, redeemed, because he knew to go to God. Go to God. Get that restoration. Renew that covenant. Renew the blessing machine, so to speak, that would just continue to pour blessing on his life. Jonathan, Gideon, they charged into battle without a weapon. How convinced were they that they were blessed by God's presence, God's power within them? Charge into battle without a weapon. Neither one of them had a weapon. And yet the victory was won because they knew God was the one to do it. You have some battles that you're charging into and you're trying to find the weapons to charge into it. Find the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, don't read a book on 7 steps on how to get a breakthrough. Get to know the person who is breakthrough. Come before him and say, you know, I don't have the faith for this. And he says, I know, I'm going to give it to you. I can't charge into this battle. I don't have a weapon. I know I'm going to be your weapon. I'm going to win the victory. You're going to be the head, not the tail, because you love me not because you want this one particular thing and then you'll serve me. No, no, no. You're going to fall deep in love with me, and I'm going to give you that one thing and another thing and many blessings, and I'm going to give you some persecution, and I'm going to give you some suffering. It's a joyous thing because you're going to have an impact in the kingdom. No impact? Probably not a whole lot of persecution. No impact? Probably not a whole lot of suffering. But you start to relish the presence of the Lord so much that the suffering seems like a light thing. And you think of others that are in worse suffering. And you go, what about them? Let's pray for them. Well, what about your own suffering? Let's pray for them. And your suffering is made lighter. I love this. I want this for you. I want this for you. There's more revelation bursting out of my heart than ever before. And I'm seeing people healed quicker. I'm seeing things change quicker. I'm starting to look at financial difficulties in ministry, personally, whatever it might be, and just say, it's only momentary. Why? Because he's just too good. We're doing what he wants. We're going around the world, spreading the gospel. We're helping people here in this body be raised up into warriors, sons and daughters that can, you know, take a kingdom all by themselves. They don't need us, but they choose to hang together long after church services are over. Can't get people kicked out of my house. Pastor Jose comes and plants himself for weeks. We are a blessed people. You are already blessed. You don't need any extra blessings, but he's going to do it anyway. He's going to make you the head and not the tail in so many situations, whether it's, you know, in business, school, ministry, family. There's going to be so many turnarounds in this next year, it's going to make our heads spin. There's going to be so many breakthroughs in this next year, it's going to make our heads spin. And we're all going to spin together. And some of us will spin on the floor, I know it. And some of you will spin in worship. And some of you will be, you know, out, that you just can't stay here to do the fellowship for too long because you want to go out and win somebody. You want to pull somebody in that's been lost, a lost lamb out there wandering around, and you know about them. And you'll go out and get them. And you're already doing it. You're so stinking anointed, I can't stand it. And you're going to be the head, not the tail. I can sense it. You're not going to give in to the same old, and the lies of the world that, oh, this is a little better. If you just kind of little of Jesus and a lot of this, you'll be a lot better off. You're not going to fall for that garbage. You're going to go a lot of Jesus and very little of that. So, Father, we thank you, God. You're so mighty and good. We're going to shake our heads, and the tail is just going to go following us. The blessings are going to follow us. People are going to follow us to the kingdom. They're going to follow us right on the road to heaven, God, because you're going to have us pioneer. You're going to have us push against doors that have never opened. You're going to have us speak to leaders. You're going to have us speak to community people. You're going to have us speak to relatives that we think are unwinnable, and they're going to be won. Things are going to change. People are going to come into alignment with what God wants because these days require it. It's either blessing or curse, and they've had enough of the curse, and they want the blessing. They want the covenant. They want Jesus. Father, we're the ones that can do it. Help us have eyes to see and ears to hear, that we respond and be led by the Spirit to be sons and daughters of yours everywhere we go, ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not put ourselves down, but let you lift us up to the place we're supposed to be all the time, at work, in the store, everywhere. We are a walking miracle maker because of you inside of us, because of dunamis power of Holy Spirit dynamite inside of us. We're a walking miracle maker everywhere we go, God. People can be touched and healed. People's emotions can be healed up. Father, help us not let the emotions in our heart be the head. Let us not have the hurts in our heart be the head. Let us not let our own decision-making, our own will, choose against you and be the head. Help us not intellectually come up with steps away from you and wag our head in that direction. But Lord, help us love you, fall deeply in love with you, come into covenant deeper and deeper with you, worship you, let you be the center of all things in us, and we will end up being the head pioneers everywhere we go, on the front lines wherever we go, wherever we walk. There'll be blessing for other people. There'll be healings, deliverances, salvations. Yes, Lord, I see it for this people before me, God. You see it for them. That's more important. And you want it to happen in their lives. I bless that. I favor that. I work for that, God. I'm your laborer in the harvest field. Pastor Mary Pat's your laborer in the harvest field. Many here are laborers in the harvest field to see that happen for people in this body, beyond this body, in the nations, in the neighborhoods. God, you're the key. We come into a deeper love relationship with you. We want to talk with you more. We want to soak in you more. We want to hear from you more, not as regulation, not as have to, but part of the love fest, part of the enjoyment of a God who has given so much for us to go so high. Yes, Lord, we receive that. May circumstances and situations and memories not be the head. May physical problems not be the head. May they all bow at the name of Jesus, which makes us the head, and that in our bodies, healing will happen more and more, and divine health will be our portion, not just healing up of every little thing that happens to our body, but we have divine health that the attacks can't even get through. Yes, Lord, bring us to those new places of promise, those new places of power. Not for ourselves to feel important or big or great, but for your name to be magnified, your name to be lifted up, our covenant with you to shine on the earth as the one thing that works in life, a covenant with the Most High God, with the God of 700 names and titles, with the God of dunamis power inside of us, willing to live in our temple. Yes, Lord, we respond to you. We awake to you in a new way. Jesus, give us radical obedience. Jesus, make us violently obedient because of love for you. We're going to be violent against the world system. We're going to be violent against the devil's lies. We're going to be violent against our own flesh and what it wants. And we're going to say no. We're going to obey the living God. We're going to obey his statutes and his promises. We're going to obey the best plan for us and what brings honor to our Father and to our King. Yes, Lord, bless each person with that fire on the inside of them today. And may they know your answer is on the way. Your answer is on the way as you become the head and not the tail in relationship and covenant with a mighty God. Yes, Lord, convince each of us deep in our hearts. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, as we go. That's the real message, the message from you to us as we leave today. Bless the meeting over at People's Baptist. In every way, may they receive more than they could even imagine as Pastor Josef ministers to them, Lord. We give you praise. We honor your name today, high above any other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. We're starting now to go deeper into that, raising up your name in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be blessed. Come again next Sunday. You could come Tuesday night too.